Hi, I'm Arlen Walker, and I'm live from Pelham's Wasteland, and today I've got another episode of The Journal for you guys. It's another one. This is, I've been doing a little better about recording regularly, but at the same time, that means that I'm generating up more, total time of audio, and therefore, have more stuff to share with you guys, which I suppose is good if you like the stuff that I share, and less good if you are feeling like I put out too much stuff for you to listen to all of it, if you are concerned with listening to all of it. So anyway, that's whatever. I think it's fine. Let's get into the journal stuff. All right, so I am back. Once again, today it is the morning of May 31st, the very last day of May in 2022, and it's been a pretty good month for me overall. As mentioned, it was on Sunday, May 1st, that I decided to sort of spontaneously try the writing every day thing, and that's been really good for me, I think. And it's another of those things that I sort of, more deliberately this time, but still trying to capture a measure of spontaneity. One of the things I realized thinking back was that I started kind of exercising more regularly, basically spontaneously, that I sort of felt a degree of kind of malaise and discomfort and all of that in last November. And part of the idea was to set myself a fairly limited goal and just kind of progress from there. So the first goal was basically just, it was, if I remember correctly, the week of Thanksgiving, and my idea was that Tuesday, okay, so just exercise every day for the rest of the week, at least a little bit, more than just going on walks around the neighborhood, but like doing stuff with the dumbbells and stuff. And then that turned into for the rest of November, and then for all of December, and then on and on until now. It's not something that I quite do every day. I have days that I miss, but that it's become a pretty consistent habit that, most days I do some level of kind of intense physical exercise as part of, not that intense in terms of, super serious, super physically fit people, but intense for me, right? Physical exercise, and that seems to have been a really big benefit to my mental health and physical health, right? I've lost a fair bit of weight, like somewhere on the order of 30 pounds, since November of last year. My mental health has also been really good, and it's one of those things, a number of things. My term right now is catalysts, that it sort of comes from an understanding of biology and organic chemistry, essentially from all the way back in high school, really. That part of the way that the body works is that, your cells, right, that as you take in food and water and all of that sort of stuff, your body processes it and will turn the stuff that you have taken in into the stuff that your body needs, basically. And specifically, I don't remember what the term is for the particular, most common configuration of basically a protein or a molecule or whatever it is. I guess proteins are a whole lot bigger than molecules, but you know what I mean. Essentially a configuration that basically there is a certain amount of energy stored in the structure, and so when the cell breaks the structure apart, you get the energy, right? And so that's how the cell gains energy. But part of the point is that the breakdown is differently efficient in different circumstances, right? So that's a big thing about oxygenated, aerobic exercise versus anaerobic exercise, that breaking down the, I guess it's probably a protein, with oxygen releases a lot more energy, but you use up the oxygen. And so if, you know, your cells are desperate for energy, then you break down the protein without oxygen and you get a lot less energy, but you also get lactic acid, right, is a byproduct of anaerobic metabolism. And so the idea being that that's what, you know, can make your muscles feel kind of sore and uncomfortable, right? That's part of it, is the buildup of lactic acid as your muscles break down essentially energy storing proteins in order to have energy to function, right? And so then there's a whole sort of strategy and theory of exercise that comes out of attempting to kind of efficiently, you know, control anaerobic versus aerobic metabolism in the cells of your muscles, right? Anyway, but the sort of metaphor is that I think that a lot of stuff with my kind of mental health and energy are kind of similar. That there is a sort of conditional cost in order to gain things, right? It's sort of like a productivity chain, if that makes sense. And that if the right or like a almost like the Maslow's hierarchy of needs thing, right? That, you know, if the lower level stuff isn't being met, then the higher level stuff isn't going to function either, even if all of the other elements of the higher level stuff are there. And I guess what I mean by that is the idea that I think there are, I was working on this today. I was watching a video on YouTube, a woman who I watch her content fairly regularly, not all the time, but often enough, who talks a lot about the experience of kind of autism and hypersensitivity with regard to kind of sensory inputs and, you know, all sorts of other kind of neurodivergent stuff, depression and ADHD and things like that, that are sort of in the mix in a sense. Part of it is that a lot of those things are very symptom based in terms of diagnosis, and so there seem to be kind of different forms of them on the basis of, or to my understanding at least. Especially as someone who has some of those neurodivergences, that I feel like there are kind of different versions of a lot of those different things, partly on the basis of like the particular kind of mixed collection of all the different things that each individual has, and partly on the basis of the idea that those, you know, a lot of those things are identified through symptoms, not through causes. And so if there are different causes, even though the symptoms may be very similar and very closely related, there may be some kind of important distinctions between them, right? Anyway, so but anyway, she was talking about one of the sort of tools that she has been working on is to use an energy chart, as she called it, which is basically a diagram, essentially two columns, and one of them, in her case, she has written in red and one in green, in on a piece of paper, right, like a sketchbook page. And the idea is to put things that cost energy in red on the left, and things that gain energy in green on the right. And the idea being that kind of there's a sort of relationship between energy and happiness and all that I think is fairly true, especially as someone who has suffered from depression for a long time. And at least in my case, one of the core elements of depression for me is not necessarily kind of you know, self-loathing or things like that, but it really has to do with lack of energy, right? That when I'm depressed, I can sleep for 12 or 14 hours a day and feel tired when I'm awake and all that sort of stuff. And there's some other stuff in there too, right? I think that more than likely there's a a relationship there between things like being overweight and having bad sleep apnea and all of that depression stuff. But anyway, the point being, I think there is some truth to the idea that your kind of energy levels are not necessarily a direct cause or effect of happiness, but are definitely, in my opinion, fairly heavily correlated with kind of happiness and not necessarily comfort, right? Because there's a sort of comfortable, relaxed, low energy state, but that there is something kind of happy about not even necessarily acting in a high energy way, but kind of having energy available, right? And that sort of gets into comfort, right? Is this idea of sort of the idea of the comfort that a person can have when they have like a, you know, a savings account with lots of money in it. And so they, you know, don't necessarily need to be worried about money in the way that someone who is living paycheck to paycheck needs to be worried about money, right? So anyway, all of that is basically to say that I thought that was a good idea, and I ended up doing something similar. I structured mine a little bit differently, and I did it digitally because that's how I often do things. But I basically made a Google Sheets sheet, you know, an Excel spreadsheet thing. And I had three columns. One column is drains, and one column is catalysts, and one column is boosts. And so drains are things that cost more than they give, essentially. The cost is greater than the benefit. Which is not necessarily to say that they are all things that I want to kind of completely avoid, right? Some of them are things like, you know, large family gatherings, which, you know, there is a value in those large family gatherings. It's just important to recognize that those large family gatherings are also very draining on my energy. And so be kind of aware of that, right? And I think that's the big thing with a lot of the mental and physical health stuff I've been doing, is the value of kind of analytical awareness in the process. But anyway, and then I have catalysts, and catalysts are things that have a non-negligible energy cost, but that have a greater energy benefit than the cost. And so that's the sort of stuff, like, for instance, showering or brushing my teeth, that can feel kind of hard to get the energy up for, but that I will feel better after doing. And so that sort of exists as a ramp or a ladder, right? That you can do, okay, so this thing that is kind of, you know, relatively low cost, but doesn't have a huge kind of bonus afterwards, well, start with that, build up enough so that you can do the higher cost things that have a bigger bonus, and build up and up and up, right? And then the last section is pure bonuses, things that have limited or negligible cost, especially relative to the benefit, and that are useful as a way to kind of fit those in when I kind of need a boost, is the idea. And then I also made another page that is ideas for that sort of thing. So kind of, you know, different habits that I feel like I could work on, or subdivided behaviors, or all sorts of things that might be worth exploring, I think, to keep track of, you know, ideas for that sort of thing. So I'm pretty excited about that. I feel like that was a good exercise for me, you know, a good way to kind of visualize the information, I guess, if that makes sense. Because that's I think that's a big thing for me, is the value of you know, clear communication of data, as well as of kind of, you know, hypothesis and analysis and conclusions and all that sort of stuff in kind of scientific terminology, right? That it's not just the raw data, but also the kind of, you know, analysis of the data and the conclusions that you can draw from that analysis. And I've been working on all of that. But anyway, so that was Yeah, I think that was pretty good. And I've read just a little bit of Red Harvest, so I'm hoping to read the rest of that one this afternoon sometime. And that'll be basically me kind of back on track in terms of reading, and then be more deliberate about all of that. I think one of the big things is recognizing the way in which, until something becomes a habit, I kind of need to be deliberate about making it into a habit, right? That, if I want reading every day to be a habit, I need to be deliberate about, okay, I have some time, I'm going to sit down and read, rather than just assuming that I will open up the book because it's habit, which I hope will happen eventually, right? That, oh, I've got, 20 or 30 minutes until my next meeting. I'm gonna, sit down and read for a little while as just a sort of, default behavior. I think that's habit, right? And that's what I want to get to in some ways, is to have that habit just be a part of kind of how I operate in some ways. But that I am not there yet, right? And I need to continue to be deliberate about, making it happen so that it becomes habit, right? If that makes sense. Anyway, so that's a thought too, is because I think what sort of happened this past week, and to some degree the week before, is that I kind of let my reading, I kind of operated in the way that I had operated when I was much better about reading regularly, and just sort of trusted that the habit would happen, and that it, of course, didn't happen because it's not as much of a habit right now. And that was a sort of reminder of, okay, so this is right, it's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen without some level of kind of deliberate process, even for just a short time, right? One of the things I realized years ago was that if I could, sit down and read for, 5 minutes, that I would often end up reading for another, 20 or 30 minutes afterwards, but that the first 5 minutes was the most difficult section to make happen, which I think is a common thing for people with some level of kind of resistance and executive dysfunction, right? That's sort of the big thing, is that it's hard to start things, not necessarily hard to keep doing things. I remember my mom talking to me about that with a number of things, doing kind of social things, right? That she is someone who is also very introverted. I don't think quite as introverted as me, but close. And she describes how one of the things that she thinks is really great about her relationship with my dad is that my dad is, he describes himself as an introvert, but he is, in my opinion, only an introvert in comparison to his sisters, who are like a, 20 out of 20 on the extrovert scale. Anyway, but that my dad will kind of encourage my mom to do something kind of social and outside, and help her overcome resistance to it, and then she will end up having fun doing it, even if before actually kind of doing the thing, she wanted to not do it, right? Had some anxiety or resistance towards doing that thing, especially on the basis of, kind of introvert concern. So anyway, and I think I sort of need to work on that for myself, right? Is figure out ways to kind of overcome the first hurdle, in order to keep going, right? That if you can start a process, it can, have some inertia, and especially if the inertia helps to maintain a useful process, then that's sort of something that you can kind of almost leave running by itself, if that makes sense, right? Good habits versus bad habits. So, anyway, that's sort of what I'm thinking about right now. So I don't know. I yeah, just a couple of ideas. Another long check-in, but you know, hopefully we'll figure out, I'll figure out how to do shorter check-ins soon enough. So anyway, yeah. All right, I'm back. It's currently the evening of June 1st, 2022. Not quite, well, a little more than 24 hours after the last check-in. And I have had a pretty rough day in a lot of ways. As you may remember from the last kind of set of discussions for the journal, last weekend and then on Monday night to Tuesday, I stayed at my parents' house taking care of the house and the dog more than the house, right? The house is probably going to be fine, but you know, the dog needs to be fed and walked and all of that sort of stuff. And so last night was the first night since Friday night that I had been here at my apartment sleeping in my own bed, which I thought was going to be great. And then I woke up and had bug bites all over my legs. And I ended up doing some research, and I'm pretty sure that what happened is that in the process of some of the, you know, moving stuff around last week, taking things to and from the storage unit and all of that sort of stuff and out of the old office and all that, that something got on my clothes, something, you know, insect egg like, and then I didn't think about that possibility, and at least one time ended up lying down and taking a nap after getting done before stripping off my clothes and showering, and that therefore would have been pretty easy to transfer that stuff to the bed and the sheets and blankets and all of that sort of stuff, and that now there is an insect colony on my bed. Or I say now, as of last night there was. Now I'm hoping that it is mostly dead, because I've been spending basically all day figuring out how to deal with that sort of thing, and buying up different insecticide style tools to try to, you know, kill off a population of bed bugs or whatever else it is. I guess, you know, fleas and chiggers and things like that do kind of similar stuff, you know, bugs that depend on people to eat their stuff, or I guess not only people, but people are a useful thing for them to eat on. That was not very fun, and a lot of research and figuring out kind of what I could do and what I might end up needing to get my apartment complex involved in and all that sort of stuff. I'm hoping that I caught it early enough, and my mattress has a kind of plasticky cover on it that is basically designed to stop, you know, sweat and liquid and stuff. Obviously not, you know, like if you just poured out a drink onto the mattress, but, you know, if you sweat a little bit during the night and things like that, that it's hopefully not going to get into the mattress itself and is going to be stopped by the plastic layer. And I'm hoping that that is enough to stop bugs, and that therefore whatever bugs are or were in the bed, that they are all in the blankets and sheets and stuff. And I have gone through and sprayed all the blankets and sheets with multiple different sorts of insecticide-y sort of things. The stuff that I had originally in the house was somehow based on like essential oils and citronella and stuff. And then I ended up deciding that it was worth kind of, you know, using something that was a little more intense, you know, more like dousing the jungle in Agent Orange and all of that. And therefore ended up going to the grocery store and buying some bed bug specific stuff, and used that on sheets and blankets and everything. And they are drying out now. And my hope is that by about 10 o'clock tonight, they will be dry enough and not smelly and therefore able to sleep in the bed. I guess if not, I already showered and got into clean clothes that I had with me over the weekend. So I'm hoping that they don't have any bugs or eggs or anything on them. And the old clothes are in a plastic bag and will hopefully suffocate anything that might be in them. So I guess worst case scenario, I can sleep on the couch or pull an all-nighter or whatever. I don't know. But the idea being that hopefully, I'm hoping that by this time tomorrow, all of the potential infestation will be dealt with, partly because I think that there is some level of AC, air conditioning, connection between the different units in the apartment building, because sometimes my upstairs neighbor, I can smell stuff from that apartment that I think is coming through the air conditioning system, which suggests to me that it's, you know, something in his apartment that is getting sucked up on the intake and then filtering through into my kind of section of the AC system and then getting pushed out into my apartment. So anyway, one of those things that is not... Anyway, but the point being that I don't want to use anything, you know, like a smoke or gas or sort of thing without letting my apartment complex know. And I don't really want to have to talk to my apartment complex too much about it. I'm hoping that I have dealt with it. And, you know, almost all of the surfaces aside from the bed and the couch and my reading chair in my apartment are hard surfaces. So I'm hoping that there isn't really anything that anything could have jumped to or survived in or anything except for the bed. And that therefore, once the bed has been, Western Front 1916 style dealt with, it'll be back to normal. So anyway, we were, I guess, are supposed to record a little bit for Cerebrivore tonight, but I told the guys that I think I'm probably, if I show up, just going to come by to say hi and then hop off before the actual kind of recorded discussion, because honestly, my mental energy is just kind of completely shot after the stress and work and all of that of all of the stuff working on today. So I think I would be better served sitting in my chair and reading some Tolkien instead, because I started Tales from the Perilous Realm this morning, or I guess last night, I think last night? No, this morning, which is a collection of 5 tales and then a couple of nonfiction pieces. So there's Roverandom, Farmer Giles of Ham, The Adventures of Tom Bombadil, which is a collection of poems, but it's all sort of connected to some stuff. Leaf by Niggle and Smith of Wooton Major. And then there's, yeah, a couple of essays at the end. On Fairy Stories, I think, is the big one, but there might be some other stuff. I know that they, in some of the different kind of later, more recent Tolkien publications, they've got some of his essays collected and things, right? Like the Beowulf one has, the Beowulf one is actually, it's mostly his commentary on the Old English text of Beowulf, which I think is awesome, but I'm sure that for most people it is totally useless, because most people I think are not at all really interested in the sort of, you know, philological detail, right? That's the word I'm looking for. The you know, really intense detail of the meaning of, you know, specific Anglo-Saxon Old English vocabulary and things like that, and all of the you know, real close reading of the Old English text that I think is not something that most readers are particularly interested in. His actual translation of Beowulf is okay, but it's very clear that it's just a sort of it's not really meant to be read as a like complete polished piece of literature. It's pretty clearly much more meant as just sort of a, you know, an easy way to kind of somebody who is less familiar with Old English to kind of reference where things happen in the story to, you know, go deeper into the Old English version. So anyway, which I did not realize when I got it, and ended up really liking that it's that level, the what it is. But I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are like, "What the hell is this? I wanted, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien's polished and finished translation of Beowulf, and what I got is basically a sort of bit of reference material, and then all of this, you know, kind of literary analysis, and that's not what I was expecting at all." So anyway, but there's not as much of that entails from the Perilous Realm, I don't think, because I think there's more emphasis on the whatchamacallit, the stories than on the kind of, you know, nonfiction elements. But anyway, but I've been enjoying that. Today has been a lot of fun. Hoping to finish it probably in the next couple days, depending on my reading speed. So anyway, yeah, aside from that, not a whole lot has happened. I didn't get to my buddy Carl, the gemologist, was driving towards Dallas for North Texas RPG Con today, and he had mentioned that he thought it would be fun to hang out and have lunch somewhere or something. And I basically had to tell him that I didn't think I could because I needed to work on the bedbug thing, which makes me really sad because it would have been fun to hang with Carl because I didn't get to hang out with him the last time he was in town either. He and some friends came for a concert a couple months ago, and I ended up basically just kind of not up for doing much of anything on that particular day, after basically a whole bunch of family stuff. So anyway, so yeah, that was annoying, but I'm hoping that this is going to be basically the end of the bedbug saga, and I can hang out and read and generally relax later this evening. And yeah, so I think that's everything. All right. Yeah, I guess I will talk to you soon. So it is June 2nd, just a little after noon, and I thought I would do another stretch of recording. I had kind of a chaotic day yesterday, as you heard about in the last journal segment. But I am hopeful that I am done with all of that, essentially, that I have done multiple passes through of spraying bedding and sheets and stuff down, and all sorts of stuff. And I am hopeful that at least for now, everything is gone and dealt with. And I suppose that if things kind of come back after a time, perhaps, like, you know, maybe didn't necessarily get literally everything, but got, you know, the most of it, that I can do another round of spraying things down and, you know, killing off invaders and all of that sort of stuff, and thereby, yeah, be done with all of that. So I'm hopeful that it's all done. I think it's one of those things that it's time will tell. But part of it is that I slept on the couch last night, so that I wouldn't be in the room with all of the stuff, you know, that was used to kill bugs, and therefore that I, you know, I don't know if there is anything bitey in the bed and bedding still, because I haven't been in the bed and bedding very recently. So that is fun. But yeah, I'm definitely hopeful. I feel like if if everything is as I kind of expect it to be and it's all, you know, kind of dealt with and all of that, or potentially if it's the sort of thing that I end up needing to do another round on, but that's not a, that doesn't bother me really at all, then that way I will be kind of done with all of this stuff and be able to put it behind me, which I would really quite like, because it is not fun to get bit on, and especially not fun to have things that you're not so interested in living in your space, right? It's kind of a classic bit of nastiness. So anyway, all of that is to say that I hope all done with all of that, and that I can, you know, move on, and that's that. Anyway. But yeah, things are going pretty good. I did not get very much sleep last night. I finished Tales from the Perilous Realm, which is the Tolkien book that I was reading that was absolutely wonderful. I just loved it so much. It's one of those, it's a collection, I think I mentioned, of a number of different things that, different stories that Tolkien wrote at different times, as well as the On Fairy Stories essay at the end, which I think is the longest of the different, there are five stories, and then the essay, and I think the essay is the longest of any of those things. So anyway, all of that is to say that I have, finished that. And I think that means that I've finished a book every day for at least the past like 4 days. So that's pretty cool. That's, you know, a fun thing. And I think has been really good for me. I think that's part of why I've been feeling so good. It's just, you know, reading a lot and really getting back into reading as a, you know, a habit, right? Because I think one of the big things that happens and happened with me is that I, you know, I still like to read and I still read a little bit, but that often part of it is that I don't just kind of fill space with reading or fill time with reading, if that makes sense, that, you know, have, you know, 20 or 30 minutes and then need to get something, you know, need to leave the house in 20 or 30 minutes that I'm like, okay, well, you know, sit and, you know, scroll through YouTube or something like that, instead of, you know, I'll sit and read for a little while. And all those little kind of bits and pieces very much add up over time. So I think that's a big element of that. But yeah, I'm feeling really good. I'm excited. I'm motivated. I feel, really, I think, surprisingly, energized today in a lot of ways, considering how little sleep I got, because I finished the book at probably in just before midnight, I think, because my goal was to finish it, by midnight, and I think I just barely made it there, which was nice. And then I just sort of hung out and had a nice kind of a relaxing hang out, and not necessarily really like do too much stuff directly, but just kind of, you know, chill for a little while, basically. The kind of a classic thing that I like to do, which is just kind of hang out and chill. And I think there's a lot of value, to me at least, in having Time that is not necessarily kind of dedicated to anything specifically, but that is sort of generally free. And I think it's one of those things. I think some people use the term free time to mean time that they're not like, working for somebody else, not doing something that they basically, I think there are people who use it to sort of mean, well, I don't have to work for anybody else right now, but I need to work for myself, sort of thing. And that's not how I see free time. I see kind of working for myself as a non-free time too. And so there's a real wonderful experience of just kind of, hang out and relax and not feel like I have to get anything done right now. Almost like brainstorming in the process of creativity, right? That there's an element of the sort of, low key, not necessarily kind of focused on anything too specifically, but sort of gradually kind of working through and kind of chewing on things almost is another way that I put it sometimes, that it's a little bit like just sort of hanging out and not necessarily, not necessarily having like a specific goal that I want to accomplish or anything like that, but just sort of generally being like, okay, so this is, I'm just going to hang out and, read a little bit and maybe watch a YouTube video and maybe, listen to some music and I'll, look through my, library of things on, like either like my physical bookshelves or maybe my Kindle library on my Kindle or whatever else, and kind of think about what I might want to read next and all of the different things that sort of go into, as I see it, kind of that kind of relaxed sort of letting things lie fallow, but not actually kind of like all the way sleeping, right? That it's sort of in between. It's not productive, like trying to get things done, but it's also not kind of total sort of unconsciousness. It's just sort of relaxed, right? Anyway, so I think that was really nice last night that I felt like I don't know exactly what it was. I think probably a big part of it has to do with reading so much that I, felt really good and felt like I had energy. And so it was just sort of hanging out and reading for a while, and then was done with that. And I guess I did read some more because I read the first kind of 60 pages or so of another book that I guess I will try to finish today or tomorrow. The Sword Bearer by Glenn Cook, which I think I may have read when I was in high school, but I don't remember for certain. I think I at least bought a copy of it, but I don't remember if I actually read it or not. I feel like I might have read bits and pieces of it because there's some things that seem a little familiar, but it also seems like it's kind of one of those, a little bit generic fantasy stories that sort of feels familiar without even having necessarily read it before and all that. So anyway, but yeah, it's all right. I think Glenn Cook is pretty good. There's some of his things that I don't necessarily get as attached to, but I do tend to like his books more than not, I guess, the way to put it. So anyway, yeah, so I am hanging out and chilling, and I don't know. I think we're gonna do family night tonight, so that'll be nice. And I have a couple of work things that I need to do today and tomorrow, but aside from that, it's a pretty low-key afternoon for me today, and hopefully a low-key-ish day tomorrow, and just generally kind of, trucking along and doing well in a lot of ways. So I think that's pretty good. So yeah, that's assuming that the bed bugs are done, because if they are still there, because I'm probably gonna go take a nap in a little while because I was up till like 3 in the morning and then woke up at like 7, right? Which is ridiculous, right? It might have been even earlier. It might have been like 6:30. I think it was 6:30, which is apparently when I wake up now, but also like come on, body, like, a little bit of flexibility and waking up a little later would be nice because I would like to get more sleep. But I woke up and was like, okay, I don't feel like I can go back to sleep, which is not perfect, although it's much better than waking up and feeling like I desperately need to go back to sleep. So I guess that's the nice trade-off, because that's sort of what I feel like often when I'm very depressed. So anyway, so yeah, just hanging out and reading lots and doing well. All right, so it is the early evening of June 3rd, Friday, June 3rd. I have had an all right day. I ended up sleeping in this morning, which was very nice, but it sort of put me behind on getting things done, as it does. And then just, I think there is an element of, sometimes you need more sleep, but then your body goes, oh, let's get even more sleep. So that was not so good. I did exercise with weights today, which was nice. I've been walking a lot, but I haven't been doing the kind of full exercise with weights as much recently. Just for, I mean, last week when I was busy moving things into and out of the office and the storage unit, I was worn out from carrying things and didn't really feel like doing weightlifting too. And then this past week, I was over at my parents' house for a long time, or for Monday and Tuesday during the day. And then Wednesday, I had the various kind of level of chaos that was going on. And then yesterday, I had some of that too, not as much, but a little bit. Yeah, anyway, basically, I had the first sort of session back to kind of full weightlifting plans today, which was nice. It felt good. Not quite perfect. There's an element of I felt really kind of nauseated and like my heart rate was too high and stuff. So I don't know if that has to do with just, losing conditioning from 2 weeks of minimal exercise, or if maybe I need to, get back into adding more cardio to my routine to try to work on that or whatever else. But anyway, that's a whole thing. So, but yeah, aside from that, I only read a little bit yesterday. I did not finish Glenn Cook's The Sword Bearer, which is the book that I'm reading at present. I'm hoping to finish that tonight, but I guess we will see. I have apparently like 2 hours left, so I figure, if I start at about 8 at the latest, that would be finished by 10, and therefore asleep by about 11, which is about bedtime for me nowadays. Yeah, I don't know. Just hanging out, having a good time, getting stuff done. I did record an episode of Solo Play today. I did an episode of Solo Play with a game called RuneCairn, which I bought the RuneCairn core rules on DriveThruRPG a while ago, and the Beneath the Broken Sword adventure, which is sort of a quick start adventure. Although I don't know if it's kind of if it's really like a true quick start in the sense that you can do everything with just that booklet. You might need the core rules to use it. I don't know for certain. But anyway, and then the author, so the company is called By Odin's Beard. The author put out a new thing called Warden Saga, and Warden Saga is a collection of the basic rules and the advanced rules and that adventure. So it's pretty cool, and there's print versions from Exalted Funeral in the US. And then also, it was the author was offering a discount on the PDF version for people who already owned RuneCairn, which was pretty great. So I went ahead and got that, and that was a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and I hadn't really done much with it. But I sort of felt inspired to do something, and I had seen one of the guys that I watch on YouTube, Paul of Stone Axe Gaming, had done some stuff with Runecairn, and it looked really cool. And so I was like, yeah, you know, why not try it out? And so I decided I would test it out, and I did my no webcam version of solo play recording, where it's just basically a static image for the visuals, right? There's no kind of video element, right? Nothing changing on the screen. It's basically just a static image with audio, but it's done a little bit differently than I used to do that, because for my really early solo play stuff, the way I did it was that I recorded the audio actually in here for the podcast, and then pulled the audio out and attached it to a video that was composed of a single image in Windows Movie Maker. But with OBS, it's relatively easy to do a much simpler version of that, which is to just have OBS essentially record as if it was recording, but where the only video that it's recording is a static image, instead of having it record webcam or whatever else you might want to have it record. But it was a lot of fun. It was 30 or 40 minutes of solo play stuff, and mostly just creating the character and then kind of talking about the rules and all of that sort of stuff, talking about the game, all of that. So, but that was a lot of fun, and it really kind of got me re-inspired to do the solo play stuff more and more regularly. I've been feeling not necessarily opposed to it, but just not, I didn't feel like I had the kind of spark that I sometimes have for RPGs in general and solo play in particular recently. I think part of it is that I have been reading more and doing some other things and just kind of, you know, shifting my hobby time a little bit, which I think is right. It's totally fine. And it's, you know, as everyone who has called in whenever I talk about that has basically said, right, you know, you got to do what is going to work for you. But at the same time, there is sort of an element of you know, feeling like it'd be nice to kind of have that spark there a little more. And I feel like I kind of recapture that for myself in some ways by doing more solo play, right? Which is, you know, a classic concept. Do a thing that you have fun with to remind you that you have fun doing it. But anyway, so yeah, that's a whole fun thing. Anyway, aside from that, it was a pretty good day. Had a little bit of chaos this afternoon with some technical issues with a work meeting that were not so fun and were, you know, the sort of thing that I couldn't really just solve over the phone. So I'm going to need to do a little bit of work on that this weekend, I think, depending on how things exactly shake out. But, you know, that's a whole thing. So anyway, that was Friday the 3rd. All right. It is June 7th, the evening of June 7th. I have not recorded a journal recording in a little while. It's been a couple of days since I did the last one. According to Anchor, it was like June 3rd. So, you know, been a little while. But I'm doing pretty well. I'm hanging out, you know, getting stuff done. I have read a couple of books recently. I finished The Temple of the Golden Pavilion by Yukio Mishima today.
And so I'd read it before, but it's a book that I remember being kind of awed by because it was magnificent and tremendous. And I definitely felt like that reading it this time again. So that was pretty great. But yeah, it's, you know, one of those things that I've gotten some Live from Pelham's Wasteland stuff done. I put out a community chat video on Monday on the YouTube, and then I did an episode today on Anchor. So, you know, that's pretty good. I'm not sure if I'm going to do a blog post tomorrow like I had sort of thought about, but I guess I'll see. I'm gonna, you know, kind of tinker with that idea a little bit, and maybe I'll do some work on it, but who knows if I am gonna, we'll see what I end up coming up with. But anyway, doing pretty good, been reading a lot. I feel Monday was a little rough. I think that, so we had some rain recently, and I think that it washed out a lot of the stuff in the air first, but then basically the rain revitalized all of the plants putting out pollen, and so they blasted out all of that stuff, and so Monday in particular I did not feel great in terms of just allergies, I think, as much as anything, and potentially other stuff, although I don't think other stuff was as much of a factor. I think it was mostly just just kind of intense allergies like I get. But yeah, it was, you know, even that was okay. I, you know, had a kind of low-key day in terms of work stuff and was able to kind of manage around not feeling 100%, but I've been exercising regularly, so that's good. On Sunday, I went over to my grandparents' house and watched UT win the regionals, UT baseball. For those of you who don't know, for the NCAA, they do 4-team regionals, which are double elimination tournaments, and then 2-team super regionals, and then 8 teams in the championship, the NCAA championship in Omaha, Nebraska every year. And often it just gets referred to as Omaha. But anyway, the University of Texas tends to have a pretty good baseball team, and so often makes it at least through the regionals, although not always. In this case, I think they're ranked number 9 in the country at the start of the bracket seeding for the tournament. So I don't know. There's a whole set of things that happen based on people of which rank win versus lose and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, but I watched the last game of the regionals that they were in this past round, playing the Air Force, the Air Force Academy baseball team, and they pretty seriously smashed them. Part of it is that because it's a double elimination tournament, the Air Force team had played earlier in the day, so it was not a true doubleheader in the sense of two games where the same teams play each other, but that it was the second game of the day for the Air Force baseball team. So of course they were, playing two games in, you know, 100 degree weather is just brutal. But UT won 10-1, so, you know, that's a handy victory. So, you know, that was nice. Anyway, so it was an all right game. It was one of those things that it wasn't super exciting in the sense of like a classic kind of, you know, nail biting baseball game where it's, there's the sort of back and forth and all of that sort of stuff, which apparently the game that Air Force played against Louisiana Tech earlier in the day was like that. Anyway, apparently by the time that they got to playing UT, they were pretty worn out and all that. So you know, and not too surprising there. I mean, it's like I said, multiple baseball games in 100-degree weather is just absolutely brutal. But yeah, it was fun. Just hanging out with my grandparents. Had some, my grandmother made some pizza for us, and yeah, it was nice to hang out with them. And otherwise, you know, I'm just sort of having a kind of a more settled, kind of period right now. Not quite as chaotic as it has been recently, so that's nice. I think that reading a lot has been really good for that. So anyway, yeah, it's been pretty good. So yeah, I think that's everything I'm going to say for tonight. So yeah, I guess move on to the next recording. All right, I am back on the mic. Today is June 9th, Thursday, June 9th, and it's 7:40 p.m. right now, so in the evening, although there's still sun out because at this latitude, the sun lasts for a while, at least in this time of year. And with daylight savings and all that, you know what I mean. Anyway, the point of all that is just to say that, yeah, had a pretty good day yesterday. Got a lot of stuff done. Was a little low on sleep for most of the day, but, you know, that happens. Today, I have not felt nearly as good. I have been feeling really kind of under the weather and just not great in terms of physical health. I've been very sleepy today, very lethargic, and I've had a headache for much of the day. I took a Tylenol maybe 30 minutes ago, and that seems to be helping a lot right now. So, you know, that's good. But yeah, you know, other than that, it's been okay. Not as good as I might hope, but you know, it's not a complete loss by any means. So, you know, that's nice. I read some stuff today. I finished, a couple of books. I finished my Thomas Carlyle book and my, and I reread Macbeth. So that was nice. And then I've got a couple of things lined up for, the rest of, sort of the weekend and all that. So that'll be nice. But yeah, just, you know, hanging out, getting some stuff done, not a whole lot of stuff done, but making progress on a couple of things. So I thought I would sort of call in and talk a little bit about that. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there's a lot of other stuff to talk about. I need to do some writing this evening because I didn't this morning. I'd like to keep the streak alive. So I'm going to try to do a little bit this evening. But aside from that, you know, it's mostly just kind of progressing onward, another low key day, and, hopefully tomorrow I will feel better. All right. It is the evening of June 10th. I'm checking in once again. This will probably be the last journal recording for this particular, episode, I think, but I guess we will have to see. But you know, I'm doing okay. Had kind of a rough day in some ways. I thought I was doing a lot better in terms of feeling recovered from illness, and then I ended up threw up this morning, and then that, of course, has a sort of cascading effect, because I basically threw up a little after breakfast, probably because of, you know, breakfast being, I guess, too hard on my stomach or whatever. Part of what happens when I throw up close to breakfast, of course, is that, you know, in addition to food coming back up, some of the medicine it comes back up too, right? That's part of what happens in the process, and that's not so good in terms of keeping a stable dosage of medicine in my system, of course, and therefore, as a result, I, end up not feeling so good, not just because of illness, but also because of medicinal fluctuation and all of that. Not so good, but you know, it's one of those things that I think it's not impossible to recover from or anything. It's just going to be probably an off day or two in all likelihood. But I got a lot of rest today. I met with my doctor in the morning, which I had actually scheduled a while ago. It wasn't like I scheduled a doctor appointment just because of getting sick recently. It was for some more kind of long-term stuff, but it was a really good kind of discussion that we had about some of the stuff that's going on with me and some things to think about and work on and make progress on in particular. So that was really good, I thought. Just in general, I'm feeling pretty good. Aside from the illness related stuff, certainly got a fair bit of rest today, so that was nice. And then otherwise, it's just, one of those things that I think I, I'm going to need a little more rest in the next couple of days probably, but I'm hoping to feel a lot better. I've been reading a fair bit. I finished a book on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and then I'm hoping to, I've got maybe 45 minutes or an hour left of my book that I'm thinking about finishing tonight. I don't know. I guess maybe I'll finish it tomorrow morning or something if I don't finish it tonight. Making good progress with reading and all that. So that's nice. I decided to go through and read. I had already read the first Renegade Swords collection, which is edited by a dude named D.M. Ritzlin, but it's a collection of sword and sorcery stories. I quite liked the first collection. I read it a while ago. I don't remember exactly when. Probably around the time it came out, actually. And then now there are two more. So there's 1, 2, and 3. So I'm almost done rereading the first one. And then I'm going to read 2 and 3, which I haven't read yet, but that I enjoyed the first one. So I figured they'll be fun too. So anyways, that'll be good. And then I'm not sure what I'm going to read after that. And then I've got a couple of kind of solo play things that I am working on, kind of projects for the solo play stuff, I guess is the way to put it, for YouTube related stuff often. That's fun. I don't know. I'm hanging out, doing some good stuff, and I'm just chilling. So anyway, having fun, and I will this will probably be it. So I think I'm gonna do an outro, but I don't think I'm gonna actually record the outro until maybe tomorrow morning, in case I want to put anything more in there. But anyway, that's that. All right, so it is now actually the morning of Saturday, June 11th. Doing all right, doing better than I was last night, I think, certainly. Feel like there's sort of an element of benefiting from a lot of rest. And also, I think there's a way in which seems like one of the things that often happens to me when I am not feeling well is that there's sort of a period of discomfort. And then as the discomfort gets sort of dealt with, for lack of a better term, I end up feeling very, very tired and resting a whole bunch. But it's sort of like the good rest that I wasn't able to get when I was uncomfortable. And that now it has, become more effective rest because of not being as uncomfortable anymore. And it seems like that's sort of what helps with NyQuil and stuff like that, that it not only does it knock you out, but it also helps to deal with some level of pain and discomfort and all of that, and that therefore you end up able to recover. Or at least I feel like that's one of the things that happens with me. So anyway, I'm feeling all right. It's one of those things that I think it's gonna take a little while to be kind of 100%. Feel like I sort of thought that I was over the worst of it, and I probably am over the worst of it, but that didn't kind of completely recover as much as I had hoped. And that as a result, I'm, working on kind of getting back to 100%. I read some. I woke up fairly early this morning again, but then went back to sleep for a while, and that seemed to be good. I read some this morning. I walked to the grocery store and the pharmacy and got some more food, as well as some medicine that they had ready for me. So that was really good. And I've got a couple of kind of ideas of things that I really want to do. I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do with some of these ideas, because I think there's a way in which there's sort of an overlap almost between my solo play stuff and my kind of creative writing stuff. And so there's an element of, I feel like, sort of working through and exploring a story in one form or the other sort of gives me a sense of which form it would be better to move to, if that makes sense, if I ended up kind of pushing the wrong direction, essentially, which is, I think, a classic concept in a lot of ways. But anyway, I've been thinking about a couple of ideas. In particular, I've been sort of working on an idea of a Saturday morning cartoon style game or story, but that sort of has an element of kind of sort of a mental health component, especially from a kind of child's perspective, right? That there's a sort of almost like a portal fantasy that has a mental health component, a little bit like, I don't know if the book of The Wizard of Oz has this, but obviously in the movie of The Wizard of Oz, right, there's the whole Adventures in Oz element, but a lot of the different kind of pieces of what happens in Oz are closely related to or inspired by the kind of real world events of the kind of prologue, right? Especially the various, right, the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion are all, well, and some of the other characters too, but especially them, they're all, you know, real people that when Dorothy wakes up, she's like, you were there, and you were there, and you were there. And you're sort of talking about that. It seems like that's a, you know, not an uncommon idea with regard to sort of the kind of portal fantasy element. You know, even I think Narnia has some of that, especially in the later stories. But even in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, right? I mean, part of the story involves the kids having to, you know, leave London while their dad isn't their dad in the military and their mom is at home, but sends them off to the professor's house estate sort of thing to protect them from the London bombings, right? And that there's sort of a way in which it seems like part of what C.S. Lewis is getting at is the sort of, you know, mental trauma element of that and the way in which those characters or those people are trying to recover from what they've experienced and understand what they've experienced, especially as children who perhaps don't have the same kind of, familiarity with, mental health tools and all of that sort of stuff that we as kind of adults might have, hopefully. Anyway, and I was thinking that it would be interesting to do something related to that almost, sort of like, I don't think there's an element of that in the original He-Man stories, but sort of like if you imagine kind of He-Man, but with that sort of portal fantasy, or even there's a film version of Titus Andronicus called Titus that is really excellent. I think it's a really magnificent film in a lot of ways, and stars Anthony Hopkins as Titus Andronicus, which is very much I think an intentional it seems to me pretty clear that that's a very intentional choice, because he had already been Hannibal Lecter in both, at least in Silence of the Lambs, and I think in Hannibal in both of them. I think he plays Hannibal Lecter in both of those and in Red Dragon. But I don't know. I don't think Red Dragon had come out by the time Titus came out, but I know that Silence of the Lambs had come out, and there's a right Titus Andronicus spoilers has an element of eating people, specifically Titus, the titular Titus Andronicus, feeding people to his guests at one point. So it seems like there's a sort of, you know, yeah, we can tell sort of what's going on with the connection. But part of what is interesting with the film Titus is that there's a sort of added kind of frame narrative to the story that is not a part of the original Titus Andronicus play, right? It's not in Shakespeare's version of the play, but I think it adds an interesting thing, which is that there's this sort of frame narrative that has to do with, it's not really too heavily explained in the film, but it seems to me pretty clear that the implication is that it's a kid, a young boy who's probably, between 8 and 10, before puberty, but not, like a toddler, right? But that he is living in this sort of war zone area. It's not entirely clear where it is, although with I think Titus came out in the 90s, so maybe in like the Balkan states or something like that is sort of the implication. I don't remember if there's anything that is super aggressive about kind of, yeah, here's where this is the sort of real setting. And I think that's, by design, that there's meant to be a sort of universality to this kind of frame narrative element, but that it's a boy living in this kind of war zone setting and who is playing with kind of action figures and is sort of living out this kind of other version of the war zone thing with his action figures, and then ends up, if I remember, he ends up going down into the basement of his house as there are, bombs falling around and stuff like that, and that becomes the sort of transition into the setting of the play Titus, and it's the text of the Shakespeare play, at least for the most part. I don't know if they added anything. I suspect that they cut some things out, right? Because a lot of those Shakespeare plays are relatively long, and I seem to remember that they might have cut out oftentimes when the Shakespeare plays get adapted to film, they cut out some of the B plot stuff, in part because of the sort of assumption that the B plot was written in basically to give the kind of major actors of the original play a bit of a break, because that there, were only so many actors in an acting company, and so you give the sort of major actors the main parts, and they play minor parts in the B plot sequences, but they don't need to be kind of as as on the ball for those sequences where they're not playing a major part, right? So you have there's a fair bit of discussion about that in Shakespearean studies, right? That there's whatchamacallit, people can put together like, okay, so these must be characters that were played by the same actor. And there's some interesting stuff that comes out of that, I think, where the idea being that for Shakespeare himself, where he was presumably writing for specific actors often, that there's an element of like, okay, so he, I guess, saw some connection between these characters or imagined that the same actor would play both of these characters or things like that, which I think is an interesting concept, and it's kind of an interesting piece of Shakespearean studies. And there's some similar, there's a play in the Gene Wolfe series, The Book of the New Sun. It's in the second one, right? Shadow the Torturer, Claw the Conciliator is the second one, and then Sword of the Lictor and Citadel of the Autarch. In Claw, the second book, there's a play that is performed at this sequence kind of set piece in the story. And there are more roles than the number of players, and Severian, the narrator, doesn't say who plays which role, but it is significant if you sort of put it together and track, okay, so it's clear that this character played this role, and so they couldn't play this role and things like that. There seems to be an element of significance there, that the connection between these characters in the sort of play within the novel of Claude Conciliator. Anyway, I'm getting way off track, but basically the idea being that this sort of frame narrative in the film version of Titus, it seems to me, is meant to suggest the way in which this kind of interpretation of the story of Titus Andronicus as this kind of, imagined experience that this boy is going through in relation to kind of his own experiences of violence in the world. And I don't think he has any lines within the main part of the movie, but he is present in a number of the scenes and sort of witness to what is happening, and that seems significant, right? Especially if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I watched Titus, but if I remember, there's an element of a way in which Titus Andronicus, specifically the character of Titus played by Anthony Hopkins, seems to, it sort of be implied is maybe the boy's grandfather, or somehow fits that kind of role within this imagined experience. I think there's something interesting that you could do with an idea like that, this kind of idea of a sort of portal fantasy that is a sort of therapeutic experience for the individual who goes through the portal, almost, right? That it's them trying to come to terms with the things happening in their real life in some ways. And I thought it would be interesting to do something like that with a sort of Saturday morning cartoons kind of world, and to have something like that. But I don't entirely know what I want to do with that right now. I've just sort of started putting down some of the kind of framework elements for that. So I guess I need to work on that a little more. And then a couple of other things that I want to work on with regard to that sort of thing. But anyway, I'm feeling all right. Not 100% by any means, but I am definitely feeling better than I was. And especially yesterday morning, after I threw up, I started feeling pretty bad, which is probably just because of throwing up, right? Classic. But anyway, feeling all right. Hoping to be back to 100%, if not by tomorrow, by kind of early next week. I guess I will. I think I'm going to release this episode today, probably in a few minutes, actually, because it's just after 11 a.m. on Saturday the 11th. And so I will probably just go ahead and release it. I hope you have enjoyed. If you have any questions or concerns, or you want to talk about anything that I talked about, or if you have particular knowledge of Saturday morning cartoons that you would like to share. It's one of those things that I have an affinity for in a lot of ways. And I really like a lot of cartoon kind of animation stuff. But I also, one of the kind of odd things is that I'm definitely in a slightly younger generation than a lot of that. I was born in 95, and I didn't watch very much TV as a kid. We didn't have cable in particular, so I didn't watch that much TV except like when I was over at my grandmother's house or my grandparents' house, because they have cable, and so we would go over there sometimes. So there's kind of disjointed bits and pieces of things that I have watched, but that I, don't necessarily have a kind of encyclopedic knowledge of by any means. So anyway, if you have suggestions for that sort of thing, it'd be interesting to hear about that. Otherwise, I'm doing pretty well. All things considered. A little concerned about having kind of taken a little while to feel better, just because obviously I would prefer to feel better. So I'm going to see, kind of, it's going to depend on how things go. I'm thinking it might be worth getting an official COVID test just in case that's what it is, that way I will have, you know, proof for my insurance company or something like that. But I don't know. I'm not super excited to do that, of course, but it's probably something that's worth doing. But anyway, yeah, so I think that's going to be it for me for today. Hope you all have enjoyed. Feel free to leave a voicemail message or reach out to me on Twitter or on Discord, or you can leave a comment on my YouTube channel, or you can email me at pelhamswasteland@gmail.com, or, you know, any number of other things, ways to get a hold of me. You know the drill. Hope everyone is doing well, staying safe, staying healthy, having lots and lots of fun gaming, or whatever else it is that you're doing. I have not been gaming as much recently, but, you know, that's okay. I can be okay with that. But yeah, I hope everyone is doing well. And I have been Arlen Walker. I've been live from Pelham's Wasteland, and I will see you next time. Take care, everybody.